I want you to turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. We're going to get into something very, very dear to my heart. This revelation, like many of the revelations we have here, I was taught this by the Holy Spirit. And boy, when he teaches it right. And when he taught this particular subject to me, I didn't know how important it would be to have this. I call this spiritual constitution. And I'll tell you why I call it that. We've been in a kind of a mini series on the progression of his word, hearing the word of the kingdom, understanding the word of the kingdom, receiving the word of the kingdom, keeping the word of the kingdom. Those are the four progressions to promise. You first hear it, understand it, you receive it, and you keep it. Keep it's going to be the hardest part ever. Receiving it, you're going to have to be close to God. I'm not talking about just receiving his word and reading it. I'm talking about receiving a direct deposit from heaven. Because anything God's ever going to do in your future, he's going to send his word first. He's going to send his word into your heart. Amen. And that word, you're going to interact with it. Your heart's like the incubation chamber of the kingdom of God. When God wants to do something new, he'll send his word. He'll find somebody that'll carry his word. Abraham had to carry his word. Moses had to carry his word. David had to carry his word. It's just not receive it and do it tomorrow. You receive it and you carry it and you keep it. So we're talking about keeping it all the way to fruition. Just like Joseph, the Bible said the time of his word came. He carried that word. He kept that word through all kinds of difficulty that would have shaken many, many people. But it didn't shake him. He could have got offended. There's a lot of things that have happened to a lot of us that we've been offended. We've been betrayed. We've been abused. Nobody was more abused than Joseph. His own brothers wanted to kill him. Thrown in a dungeon. Falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. But he kept the word and he kept his heart pure. It's not what you go through. It's how you overcome. Because everybody's going to go through something. If you're going to walk around with a badge all your life on you and say, poor me, woe is me, what I've been through. Look, everybody in here has been through it. Peter said, think it not a strange thing, like some strange, the fiery trial that's come upon you, like some strange thing has happened to you only. And nobody else on this planet has gone through what you're going through. Everybody's gone through it. It's who overcomes. Who has the gumption to overcome. To surrender, to forgive, to release, to let go, and keep on carrying. It's easy to quit. It's easy to give up. It's easy to get offended. It's easy to be bitter. But to carry his word through all of it and said it's still intact. Listen, when you emerge from the fiery trials of life, and you might have had everything in the world stolen from you, you might have everything just stripped away from you, but if his word's still there, the very most valuable thing to your future is still in you. If that word is there, if that promise is there, you don't have to worry about your future because your future is locked up in that promise. And that promise is up in ya. Amen. So today I want to just add something to facilitate that promise. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for appointed time. See, the vision's going to come, but then it's going to come to pass. And we don't know when it comes and when it comes. But there's some things I've been carrying in my heart for 25 years. And some I've been carrying for 15 years. I have no idea because the nature of the vision, when it's sown, you think it's going to be tomorrow. And it can get in you trouble if you go try to produce it tomorrow. There's something about God's vision. I'll just tell you straight up. You can't do it on your own. But when it comes initially, you think you can do it because it's coming with God's faith. How many has ever had vision imparted to them? Raise your hand. Did it come with faith? It came with God's life in it. It came with the life of God. I mean, it just energized you. You're ready to go. He imparted it by faith. He imparted it with his life. But it's not going to come to pass that day. How many of you tried to produce it and it didn't happen? Raise your hand. How many of you fell on your face? Raise your hand. How many of you had to get up 5 or 6, 7 times? A righteous man will fall 7 different seasons and keep getting up. All of that's designed to get rid of all the stuff in us that's trying to produce that vision. It's going to come one way. It's got to be birthed by promise. Abraham had to learn it. David had to learn it. Moses had to learn it. We have to learn it. It can't be produced by us. It's going to be produced by him. So we have to get on his program. Amen. Now, one of the things he tells us, this is huge. It would say, huge. You have to write it. Why does God want you to write it? Because when he gives you the vision, most of the time it's on the mountain. Most of the time God's going to pull you up into his spirit. I remember God woke me up 7 nights in a row and spoke the same thing to me 7 nights in a row. Audibly. Boom, booming voice. Very few times I've ever heard the audible voice of God. Audibly. So I get it. When he says that to you, you feel like you can do it right then. See, you're on the mountain with God. He gives it to you on the mountain. But that word's going to go through some things. You're not always going to feel that word the way it first comes to you like that. When it first comes to you in those first several months, it's just alive in you. Nobody can take it from you. It's precious. It is your life's blood. You walk around with it, and it's your promise. It's not Pastor Chuck's promise, not Pastor LaRue's promise, but it's your promise. And it's precious, and it's dear. And it's everything to you. But slowly and gradually as we walk through and we go through life, the enemy starts invading that promise. And gradually he wants to bring dullness to that. He wants to bring dullness. He wants to remove that atmosphere of faith. And replace it with an atmosphere, because the longer time goes, the Bible says, hope deferred, what? Makes the heart sick. Over time, that vision, when it doesn't come to pass, discouragement will have a tendency to set in. Heaviness will have a tendency to set in. But the vision never leaves. Have you ever noticed that? And you may not be high on the mountain inside, but it doesn't leave you. How many of you ever been to the place you've gotten so low that you just said, just go! I don't want it no more! Am I the only one's ever done that? It won't leave you. If it's from God, it won't leave you. It's bone of your bone. It may not prophesy to you day and night. There's going to be different times, different seasons with that word that you carry. I'm talking to somebody today who's carrying something. Because what's in you will change things because it comes from heaven. It doesn't originate with man. It didn't originate with you. And you can't do it. But when it bursts, it'll change everything around you. Everyone around you will be changed because what heaven manifested in your midst. But we have to carry it. And there's a reason why God says, write the vision. And the time you really want to write it is when you have it very fresh on your heart. That's not the time you actually need it. When it's fresh on your heart, you know what it is. You know it's time when you walk through the cloudy seasons, the rainy season, you pass through the fire and pass through the water, and sometimes you tend to forget what God said to you. The enemy will come to try to snatch that out of your heart, try to remove the hope from your heart. See, it's that time is when you're going to need what you wrote. Not the time you're on the mountain, because when you're on the mountain, it's fresh, it's full. Now, I remember I was in my prayer closet about 8 years ago or longer. I can't even think of things within years. Some people can do the exact date and time of day it went. And I remember the presence of the Lord filled my prayer closet. I'm telling you, I felt the Lord himself standing in front of me, his prayer. I couldn't see him. Man, I wish I could have. What we know now about the eyewitness, wow. But I felt his presence standing there. I knew the Lord was standing there. And he spoke to me. He goes, I want to introduce you. And this is exact words to the heavenly lawyer. this point, I knew the Holy Spirit. I knew him by revelation. He was my teacher already. But he introduced an aspect, the paraclete, the lawyer side of the Holy Spirit, the legal counsel of heaven. And when he came in, immediately I began receiving downloads upon download upon download of what I would call spiritual constitutions. And the Holy Spirit began teaching me from that encounter that I had the importance of what we would call spiritual constitution. Even the world understands these things in a limited basis, vision statements. It keeps them in line with their goals. But what we're after is the heavenly prize. Amen. We're after the heavenly crown. We're not just wanting to generate something out of our flesh. We want what God has spoken to us. We want to bring to pass what man cannot bring to pass. We want to birth what we cannot bring to pass in the natural. Amen. And when he began to speak to me about this area, he began to teach me about the importance of formulating a constitution for your life. Just like the constitution that this country is based upon it. Do you know there are men in this country who want to tear that constitution apart? They've been trying to tear it apart for several hundred years. Constantly trying to chip away at it, chip away, because the founding fathers received that from the Lord. Received a government because they came out of tyranny and they wanted to spread out the government. They wanted to take control out of one man's hand and put it into a multitude of control, and they spread it out, and it was just ingenious of God, one of the greatest governments ever in the history of the world. And they still haven't been able to take it apart to this day. And it's because that document that they signed is what holds it together. Even though devils and men with devils are trying to tear it apart, they can't. Isn't it amazing the power of a piece of paper? Signatories, but it's what's in it. It was a constitution that was going to guide the framework of this country through good times, bad times, difficult times, and demonic times. A constitution that couldn't be broken. That's what I'm talking about, having one of those for your life. It's going to guide you through good times, hard times, difficult times, demonic times, and blessed times. Something you can grab a hold of. Because sometimes I can ask so many of you, how many of you received a deposit from heaven? Raise your hand. You won't always see that the way you initially received it. Do you understand what I'm saying there? You're not always going to feel that faith the way you initially received it. When it was alive and precious to you. You're not always going to have that atmosphere. When it starts passing through the fire and through the water, sometimes you'll forget. Sometimes it'll get very cloudy. It's that time you need something to hold on to. Why? What's Habakkuk say? Listen to this. In verse 3, it says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end," look at this, "at the end, or at the finish line, at the time of manifestation, it shall speak." Say, "it shall speak." It shall speak. It says, "though it tarry, wait for it." Though it tarry, wait for it. There's a time it's going to speak. But you got to have it in front of you. Something, when I'm on the mount, I know what's in here. I just know that I know when I'm in the valley where everything grows. I don't always have it crystal clear like when I'm on the mountain. When you're close to the Lord, everything he's ever said to you will be magnified in a beautiful way. When you get away from him or you get distance from him, everything he ever said to you gets dull. But you have to understand is what he said and what he planted in you and what he's promised you, that's your future. That's what you have to be centered on. And the Constitution, it will center you in what God called you to do. Amen? Hallelujah. So when he began to show me about this, go to Proverbs 29. He began showing me the necessity of having it. Now, my first couple ones, you know, I was learning, but after a while, every time God said something to me, I began to formulate. And what I would do is take what he said and would find the biblical precedents. You ever wonder what he was talking about in James? He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to every man liberally, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Well, how do you ask God for something? By faith. So when do you get to waver? Well, let him ask in faith. What's that mean? Ask in faith. We said, let him ask for wisdom. So when am I going to waver between the S and the D? Father, I ask you for whiz, and then I end up dumb. I mean, are you going to waver between the S and the D? I mean, how do you ask in faith? It has something to do when you ask God. It's not the initial request. It's what happens after you ask. Is how to stay in that place of what you've asked for, not wavering, keeping what he said. Amen. And so when he began to speak to me, he said, I want you to take everything that I said to you, and I want you to find the biblical precedents for it. God called you to be a king. You understand what I'm king? Marketplace ministry. We call them gospel entrepreneurs. God called you to be a business person. Pastor Chuck did this. God called me pastor. He was working. He had his own company. And God called me. All he wanted to do was be a pastor. Man, he went through the fire to be a pastor in this place. I'm telling you straight up, he was tested beyond measure. Part of that testing was from me. Hallelujah. There was a lot of testing going on in the early days. We were all tested. We're just young, you know. Hallelujah. We thought we knew everything, didn't know very much at all. Praise the Lord. You know how that goes. But God, he's responsible for our growth as well. Amen. He's not going to give up on us. Glory to God. But he got a hold of this. And I remember we taught this a long time ago. We had the whole church sign it one time. We wrote one for revival. This particular constitution of revival is about 60 pages. How many have had a vision of revival? Raise your hand. Well, has God ever brought a revival? Because when I brought this to God, what the Holy Spirit told me was this. He said, look, you're going before the Supreme Court of heaven. You want the Father to do something that every other person in the world wants him to do. You know how many people live and die with revival in their heart? You know, people start out with a revival and end up just broken. Beyond measure, it's not an easy thing to go after. It's a great thing to talk about. But the birth one, it's a different story. If you don't believe me, go find one in the United States right now where they're laying on beds and couches. Tell me where they're laying them on beds and couches right now, like the streets of Jerusalem, like John G. Lake in Spokane, Washington, when the mayor had to step out and said, this is the most diseased-free city in the history of the United States. And it's because of this man and his healing rooms. John G. Lake burst out of those healing rooms. He birthed them. People were getting healed. They would take them out of the hospitals and bring them to the healing rooms because people were actually getting healed. And the people in the city and the politicians took notice of what was going on. Do you know that John G. Lake, after Spokane, came here? Do you know that? He came to Houston and actually birthed the church here in Houston. And he was called because his son got really sick. He had to leave, and he closed the door of the church. I just read that last night. I'm sitting in my prayer calls, I had this book with John G. Lake on my bookshelf, and it was going like this. Read, 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 page 20, read. And I'm like, this book is that thick. You ever seen that one on John G. Lake's like that thick? And I'm like, I am not getting up to go turn page 20. I'm very comfortable right now. And it kept going, read, read, page 20, read, read. And I opened to page 20, and it was like right there, highlighted. He birthed the church in Houston, Texas. He said, I want that for this city is what the Spirit of the Lord told me. I want another Spokane, Washington here. I want another Jerusalem here. I want a revival here. And there's a lot of people in this city that wants it too. He goes, but you're going to have to do it my way. We've all found out it can't come by the works of man, personality of man, ingenuity of man. It's not going to happen. Everybody's burnt out on all that. The merchandising machine of the saints, everyone's burnt out on that. The hype, they're burnt out on that. They want the authentic. I have another one here called Authentic Apostolic Government. I have like five of these. They all mean something very, very dear to me. You know what I do? The Holy Spirit said, you have a revivalist in you. You have promises of revival. To see and experience and carry His glory. The authentic glory of heaven. To carry it to the world. To birth it out of heaven. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I want you to take every act of demonstration, healing, miracle, Old Testament, New Testament, every scripture you can find and place it in a vision. Put it in the Constitution before you bring it to the Father. I want you to take not only historical precedents, but modern day precedents. Does God do this kind of thing? He goes, and then I want you to write everything He said to you about it. So when you go to God asking in faith, you're not just bringing something up, oh, God, grant us revival. You're bringing the history of everything He's ever done out of His Word, and you're presenting it to Him through the person of the Holy Spirit. And you're not only just presenting what He's done, you're presenting your heart, what He said to you, what He's bearing witness to you. And you put it in a state, you put it in a constitution, because it's going to speak one day. Not only that, it's going to guide you to the things that, the keys that we found were missing. It wasn't just ask for revival and boom, it fell out. There was a lot of things between revival and us. A lot of things we didn't know. God's not going to show you everything up front. It's part of the walk of faith. We go and we grab keys along the way. But this one right here, this constitutional revival is what set us up on the journey to the right hand of God. It's what opened the gates to the right hand of God. Because all of the revival we're all looking for is sitting in the right hand of God. And what we're learning how to do is get it from there to here. Jesus has already inherited all there. The full inheritance is there, and it's all laid up for us all. Behold, I give unto you power. He ascended on high and received gifts for men. Some apostles, some pastors, some teachers, prophets, evangelists, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. The whole government of the Father was granted to Christ. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, the Lord said. Say all power. Behold, I give unto you power. It's all there. It's how to get it from there to here. We're finding out things that unlock it. Things like the eyewitness. Things that man has never taught us. Why has all that revelation come? Because we asked. And God said, yes. The day we ask, He says, yes, I'll do it. Everyone say, yes. Okay, let's go. God said, well, there's a piece of ground in front of you. You're going to have to put a foundation on it. You're going to have to put walls on it. You're going to have to put a ceiling on it. You're going to have to put windows. You're going to have to put a door. And you're going to have to put a roof on it. No, no, I just want revival. He goes, no, it's encased in a spiritual house. And we're going to have to build that house in the Spirit. But it's not one that can be seen with a natural eye. It has to be seen with the eye of faith. It's the word that'll open the realms of God and show you things. It's the word that opened the right hand of God. It was the word that opened the power of the eyewitness. It was the word that put us in front of doors that man never taught us before. It was that word, but it was all guided by an initial request from heaven and holding that request through difficult times, through fire, through water, through immaturity, through impatience. Holding it, being crushed, being broken, rising, falling. The yo-yo, the roller coasters of God. But one thing that stayed intact. Holding it. There were times you set it down. I'd go golfing and set it down for 6 months. I'm done. I'm done. I'd say like that and set it down. One time I turned my prayer closet into a media center. I was just done going out there to pray. I was golfing. I come up here and preach, but I was golfing. I was checked out. You might be a little tougher than I was, but I can tell you. And God sent Jimmy and Deborah Miller out there, and they stayed out there. And Deborah comes in one day, and she goes, "Pastor, what are you doing out there?" I said, "Well, that's my media center." She goes, "No, it's not. That is your prayer closet. And God told me to come in here and tell you you need to get back in there." I'm like, "I don't want to get back in there. I don't want to pray. I don't want anything to do with it. I just want to show up, do my thing, and go on." Now, I know I'm the only one in here that's ever been through that. That's what happens. If you carry something big, you're going to go through some things. And slowly I went back out there. I just sit there. I don't want to be out here, but I'm here. If you're going to do something, do it. But I'm right here. That's it. I just put my time clock. Leave. I come back out there. I'm not going to do anything. I'm slow. The Holy Ghost come back in there. And he made me want it again. How many of you have ever had it and lost it? Didn't want it. Didn't want to pick it up. Just got too. You know what I'm talking about, George? It's like, I don't want this. It's too painful sometimes. Sometimes it is painful. I found out, I'm going to give you a master key here. You can write this down. It gets super painful when you get away from the Lord because you can't carry it. The most painful times of the vision when I got far from the Lord because I was checked out and I was trying to carry something that can only be carried when I'm close to Him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. See, you have to be next to Him. I'm not talking to immature people today. I'm talking to people who know something or want to know something about God. Amen? But when I got close to Him, I found out the life came back. I'd get back in there with Him, and He started making me want again. He goes, "Pick that back up. This is the times it's going to speak. These are the things you're going to go through if you don't have something like this, where you've taken the time to write down." I teach you how to do this, how to write. I've got 9 of them. You can just download them, formulate it. But they'll be your lifeblood at times. There are times you'll hold them. You'll go to sleep with them. If you're serious about it, because it's your life, you have nowhere else to go. Listen to me, my friends. This is our only anchor right here. The hope of what God wants to do in our cities lies with what's inside us and what's in His Word. And we have to hold it very close to us. Hold it very dear to us. And I learned to hold it. I learned to get close to Him. I learned if I got far from Him, I couldn't hold it. It would burn. How many of you had it and got close to the Lord? Some of you know I'm talking to you in the Spirit. You get away from the Lord and that vision will burn. It won't burn in a good way. I'm not burning with fire. I'm talking it'll burn. It gets heavy. I don't like it. I don't want anything to do with it. Anybody ever been there? Raise your hand. You know why? You've gotten away. You've gotten too far. God's promise and God's vision is only designed to be carried close to Him. If you're not close to Him, you can't carry it. You'll set it down. First thing, you got to stay close to Him. So I realized I had a responsibility to stay next to Him to keep His Word. See, He that keeps the Word of my kingdom. Because what you don't understand, what you're carrying can change the destiny of a whole city, a whole nation. When it comes out of heaven, the greater the vision, the more you'll have to carry it. Moses had to sit on the backside of a desert for a very long time to get Moses out of Moses. When God came to him, Moses couldn't talk anymore. Before he started, he slayed the Egyptian. He was ready to deliver everybody in his own strength. God said, that will not do. You are not a deliverer in your own strength. Get on the backside of the desert. But then God came to him and he was stuttering. Can't do this. And God said, all right, Aaron, we'll walk with you for a season until you can talk again. You're in a good place like that because you've been unraveled. When you've been unraveled, it's just nothing but God's word and you. You're in a very good place. Listen, don't worry about it. I don't have all that everybody else has. If you have his word, that's all he needs to birth your future. But you're going to have to learn to keep it. And the very first thing you should do is get something written. It is written. What did Jesus, how did he defeat the devil? Tell me how he defeated. What did he say? It is written. It is written. It is written. He understood the power of the written. Write it. Make it plain upon the table. And I'm going to carry it. He said, I want you to carry it. And I found out when I get close to him, it was easy to carry. I found that super close to him, he was carrying it. I was in harmony with it. It came alive again. I wanted it again. And I realized I can only carry this when I'm next to him. Well, when I'm next to him, it comes alive. When I got away from him, it dulled out again. So my responsibility was to stay next to him and holding those promises, holding that destiny. And I learned a whole five of them at one time. I just brought three today. These are the blueprints of the future of this ministry. They're right here. Every house you live in, my friend, was built off a blueprint. You may never have read that blueprint. You might not know anything about how that blueprint works, but you're living in that house. And that's what the Lord said. When you ask something of me, it's going to have to be sheltered in a spiritual house. And you're going to get the keys to that house. And the blueprints as you walk with me and hold it. And God just gave us the blueprints of the apostolic government and revival and wealth transference and master keys like the corporate eyewitness that the whole early church was birthed out of. You've been here, you've heard it. Those are blueprints coming out of heaven. And they're going to birth here. How do you know? Because we're not going to let go of his word. We're learning how to keep it and hold and stay next to him until the day it speaks, to the day it manifests, the day our word comes. To the day our word comes that we're called out of the prison, that we're called out and set before Pharaoh, that we're called out. And the power of the right hand of God and the glories of the right hand of God get unleashed through a whole government of people. Carriers of God's glory. Or we can just quit, give up. Go back to mainstream Christianity. Milk. Cereal. How'd you like to live on cereal all your life? If I fed you cereal three times a day, you would just loathe it after a while. But that's what we do. We just give people milk. All the time. So you serve up a filet every now and then. People go, not in here, you're used to filet, but people go, they choke. We need meat. Or they get a little nervous. I don't know about this. You know, I just want nice. No, you're here to be challenged. You're here to make something for your life. You'll appreciate it later. Trust me. When you stand before God, you'll appreciate the compass that's being set in your heart. You're not going to go any further than the compass that's inside you. If the man's compass that you're setting with and under is stopped, that's where your compass stops. You get someone whose compass just wants to go for it all, well, then you get to go for it all because your compass gets set. Amen? And we hold it, and we carry it, and we treasure it. And after a while, we become one with it. It becomes inseparable. And it gets easy. Did I say that? It gets easy? It's only easy when you're with him. Oh, the days of struggle when I would set it down. My. The internal fire. The agitation. the intense agitation, the deep discouragement, the deep darkness. You don't have to have that. All we do is stay next to him. There are carriers in this place today. You are called to carry his glory. You are called to carry his glory. You know, because your heart's burning. Benny Hinn used to say, when you listen to somebody that has the same DNA you have, your heart will burn. Take the time, my friend, to write the vision. The most precious things in my life is honoring my children and these little things right here. It will be one of the most precious things in your whole life. You ask me, when the wealth transference took place in Egypt, Moses carried that for 40 years on the backside of a desert before it was time. More than Moses, Abraham was promised it 400 years before. If you get close and very close to the one that is holding your office, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an impossibility to not know what you're called to do. If you get close to him and you start communing with him, it will be a natural transference of DNA and natural transference of your calling, because he is holding your calling. It's been entrusted to him. The Father gave the Lord Jesus Christ the entire New Testament apostolic church. He has all of it. He has your calling. He has everything. And you get close enough to him, it'll get downloaded to you. You want downloads, get close to him. Amen. Then when you get downloads, you're going to have to get the other part, what we're teaching now, how to learn to hold and carry the download. Well, doesn't God make it easy? Not when it's talking about the transformation of an entire city. No, it's not going to be. It'll be easy once the Spirit of God starts flowing. Absolutely, because it'll be him doing it. But to get it into the earth, it's our calling. But there's a lot of blueprint and there's a lot of DNA sitting in here. It doesn't matter to me how long it takes. All that matters, if we keep his word, he's going to do it. Because one of the things that word's going to do, he's going to change us. He's going to transform us. We're not going to be the same. Well, some of you that have been with us more than 15 years, we've changed a lot, haven't we? Everyone say, amen. We've changed a lot the last 5 years. He's not going to leave you the same. But you can't disconnect, reconnect, disconnect. No, you got to go through it. Amen. Just go through it. Part of the change is going through. You're going to get challenged. Every one of you are going to get challenged. The days you may not like me. I hope not very many of those. What's in the blueprint is what matters, because I'm going to tell you something. When it happens, every one of us and everything about this place is going to be radically transformed. We are going to live with heaven on earth. I promise you that. And this city is going to be transformed. I want the mayor, I'd like the present mayor, to give testimony that Houston is the most disease-free city in the United States right now. And all the people flying in the medical center, if the doctor can't get you healed, send them over here. We can. Because we got it. That kind of stuff. All up in the DNA. All right, I'm going to close with this. Proverbs 29:18, he said, where there is no vision, the people will perish. You know what perish means? They'll neglect and they'll let go. Where there's no vision on the inside of you, you're going to let go. And that's not the kind of good surrender. You're going to let go of the vision. When you let go, when you loose it, that's pain. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It gets painful when you let go. You think I'll let go and everything's going to be all right. But that's the beginning of your pain. Psalms 23. He restoreth my soul. That's an amazing psalm. First, you're lying down in the green pastures of his spirit. Then you're in the presence of your enemies. Talking about two different jurisdictions David was living in. He's my shepherd. I go lie down in green pasture beside the still waters. And then I go right back in the presence of my enemies. The valley, the shadow of death. You're with me through the valley, the shadow of death. Then I'm lying down in green pastures. You're in the world system where all the devils. And then you're in there with God and your shepherd lying down in his spirit. Awesome song. And he showed me this yesterday. He goes, then it comes, he spreads a table in the presence of your enemies. The Lord said, you're at that stage right now. I'm about to spread the table in the presence of the enemies. In the presence, because you're in the world system and all the demonic hosts. I'm going to spread the table of heaven right in front of them. And when you spread a table, people come and eat. You're going to call the lost to eat. You're going to call the infirm to eat. You're going to call the oppressed to come and eat. When God spreads the table, guess what? You get to stand behind it. One of the greatest callings in all human history is to stand behind God's table and serve it to humanity, having the anointing upon you, dripping with oil wherever you go. Hallelujah. God just spreading the table. You are the table. Isn't that good? All right, Esther, we'll close here. Esther, she went before the king, verse 4, and he held out the golden scepter, and she arose. And verse 5, Esther 8, said, if it please the king, I have found favor in his sight. The thing seemeth right before the king, be pleasing in his eyes. Let it be written. Look at this. Let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman. Haman's like the devil. Let it be written to reverse what the devil has in store for our people, for our future. Let it be written. See, we're going to write something new for our city. Oh, this has nothing to do with me. It has to do with God's government for our city and for this nation. Let it be written right here. We want to reverse what's going on in this city. We want to reverse what's going on in our families and our homes. We want to reverse. Let it be written to reverse it. We want to reverse it. Write something to reverse it. These are the days. It's what we're made out of. When we go through the storm, we emerge. I still got it right here. Still holding it right here. You can't take my word, devil. If you can't steal my word, you cannot have my future. You've stolen a lot of things. I've had a lot of things stolen from me. But this has not been stolen. Because what's in here is what's in here. Amen. Now watch this. Verse 7, then the king Assyria said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I've given Esther the house of Haman, and him they've hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Now watch this, verse 8, powerful. Write you also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name. Write in the king's name. I think the Bible says pray in his name. In the name of Jesus, write in the king's name. Write it and seal it with a king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. May no man write it in the king's name. Seal it with a king's ring. Let no man reverse what is written. I want to decree and prophesy right now. You may not know what all is written in these, but there's 25 years of history in these little three binders right here. 25 years of carrying his word, and everything he said is all recorded. And I decree right now, no man can reverse it. I decree no man can reverse what is written. And it will come to pass. Father, in the name of Jesus, every apostle in this place, every revivalist, every king in this place, every minister in this place, every prophet in this place, we decree right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak to the vision. We speak to the future. We speak to the word in him and say, come alive again. We say, rise again. We say, live again. I speak to your future and I call it to life again. I call your future to life again. I call his word to life again. And we say, no man can reverse what God has said to you. No man can reverse it. And we say, Spirit, break out. Everyone put your hand on your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of promise, rivers of destiny, rivers of everything God has ever said to you. Rivers will flow. Rivers will flow. Rivers! Spirit, break out. Spirit, break out.